Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Did you know that a talented young lady from Marion County with roots in Attica and Knoxville once performed on the stages of theaters from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon? Did you know that someone who called Knoxville home was friends with Charlie Chaplin and Buffalo Bill, and that she graced the silver screen with the Academy Award-winning actress Gloria Swanson? This star of stage and screen, with 7 movies to her credit, was the lovely Jolly Della Pringle. To learn more about her, let's go in depth with Professor Charles Lauterbach of Boise State University, Boise. Dr. Lauterbach, I understand that you are an expert on somebody that is from Knoxville that became very famous, named Jolly Della Pringle.
That's right. Actually, it starts here in Boise, Idaho. When I moved here many, many years ago, I met some high school principal, and he knew I was in theater, and he said, did you ever know anything about Jolly Della Pringle? And I said, no, never heard of her. And I wish I had known more than what I know now, because a lot of people who actually knew her, she died in Boise in 1952. I didn't get here till 1971. And there were some people who were still alive at that time who knew her and had seen her around town in the very late part of her career, of course. And so it was later that what happened was that I started doing research on theater in Idaho, particularly around the Boise area, and I kept running across, especially about 1908, 1910, this Jolly Della Pringle. And, of course, I'd heard these people speaking about her before. And so I continued with my research on that kind of theater, but I got really intrigued about Della Pringle. So after I had more or less finished the manuscript for a yet unpublished history of the theater in Idaho, I started the research on Della Pringle. And I received a grant from the State Board of Education at the tune of $35,000 to look into this subject. And so over a period of about 10 years, I've learned quite a bit about her, and I've been very much impressed about her, and especially with her roots going back to Iowa. She was very active in that area from about 1888 to about 1906, and in Knoxville itself.
Okay, so she was from Knoxville?
She was born in Trenton, Missouri, not too far from Knoxville, and her mother was widowed. She was one of something like 8 children, only 3 of which reached maturity. And the family kicked around, and then her mother married, I think, was a man named Ira Hendricks, and they moved, I think, first to Attica, and then later on into Knoxville itself. And so as a young girl there, when she was only 13 or 14 years old, she seems to have been a maid at the Lindell Hotel. And the Lindell Hotel is a place where traveling actors that did play in Knoxville stayed. And she evidently kind of fell in love with show business. And when she was 18 years old, she ran away from home and joined a traveling troupe of players. And that started her career then. She wasn't too successful in the beginning, but her original name was Cora Della Van Winkle. She claimed to have been related to Rip Van Winkle, but that was only when she was doing that play, so I suggest it was more show business hype than truth. What happened is that in one of the companies, she met another young actor named Johnny Pringle, and he came up and married her, and she took the name of Jolly Della Pringle. And although the marriage didn't last, she retained his name for the rest of her career. She was married 5 times, by the way, so she has 5 different married names.
Okay, so what happened was a young lady got involved with a theater troupe when they were coming through Knoxville touring. Was this a time of theater troupes traveling the country?
Oh, yeah. This is before the motion pictures were barely coming along at that time. They were a novelty. And nobody realized that, it used to be that people would do live plays, and this is what people's main entertainment was. There was no radio, no television, obviously, and no film at that time. So live entertainment was the best way to go, and even towns relatively small as Knoxville would be visited, though, probably on at least once a month, if not once a week, with traveling companies. So this is very, very common. And at one time, by 1905, there were something like 360 different organizations touring across the United States. So it was quite a lively type of thing. She and her husband, John Pringle, formed a small company called the Comedy Ideals, and they went on tours in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. And they did this for a number of years until a certain time that she was divorced. But what they really finally put together in Knoxville itself was that they lived there. They had a farm near the town. They owned some properties in town. That's something I'm trying to find more about. And they would put together a company of actors in August in Knoxville, and they would rehearse the plays that they were going to do during their season, which usually ran clear through the next year through May. In those days, people didn't do a lot of summer theater because that was the time when most of the population were farmers. And so it wasn't very good for show business. People were too busy working on the farms. But from September to May, was a way of doing that. And for a number of years through 1906, she would form this company, and then she would go on these tours, mainly in the Middle West, and then return to Knoxville, and they would take care of their farm, and they were just nice, ordinary folks. They raised pumpkins and things like that.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Jolly Della Pringle with Charles Lauterbach.
She ran her own company, and she directed most of the plays herself, as well as being the leading lady. And she had a fabulous wardrobe of clothes. And in those days, women went to the theater to see the latest fashions, and the leading ladies were always, you know, it's kind of like walking the red carpet today type of thing, but this is part of what she was at. She was evidently very talented. She could sing, dance, and act. And she often was featured in specialty dances. She had one called the Kaleidoscope Dance, where she had a dress that was covered with a lot of small mirror-like shiny things, and then she would dance in colored lights, and it would look like a kaleidoscope. And so she did a little bit of everything. She was evidently fairly talented. She wasn't professionally trained, but in those days, a lot of people weren't. And she was a pretty good light comedian, I think, for the most part, although she did play heavy drama roles also. At one point in 1902 to 1903, she went to New York, not to Broadway, but she played in New York and New England with a fellow Iowan, Corse Payton, who had a theater in Brooklyn. And he had these companies that toured around, and she played in those areas, and she was well received there. So she was probably the equivalent of most of the actresses, but she never was in a Broadway play. She once billed herself as the actress who made Iowa famous, and she eventually followed to Boise, Idaho. She set up shop in 1908 and remained active here until the 1920s. But she did have a stint in Hollywood, where she went down there with their one of her husbands, and they were stars in silent film for a while. I don't know if you call them stars, but at least they appeared. And at one time, Della Pringle was a member of the Keystone Cops, the Mack Sennett comedy people, and she played character roles in several of their films. And she appeared opposite, or at least in a film with Gloria Swanson, when Gloria Swanson was just starting out. So she knew people like Charlie Chaplin, and she knew Buffalo Bill Cody. She just had been in the business so long that she virtually knew almost everybody involved in it. Smaller towns and things like that, she was a definite star.
Well, I doubt if there's anybody else from Knoxville or Marion County that has appeared in movies in Hollywood.
No, I don't think so.
I understand she not only had five marriages, but she made and lost several fortunes. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. She kind of a sad story. She actually ended up in the, what they didn't call it that, but it was the poorhouse here in Boise, Idaho, for the last 2 years of her life. She just didn't realize that she'd ever run out of money. She had opportunities to be in pension funds in Hollywood, but she never bought into them, and that's it. But she, an example of how much money she had, I've forgotten the exact date, but it's around 1903 or something like that. There was the World's Fair in St. Louis, and she had a Pullman car called the Della, and these are rather pricey, expensive things, and it was outfitted. It had a porter and a maid and all that sort of thing, and she toured the country with that Pullman car, and then at the time of the World's Fair, she managed to run excursions from Knoxville down to St. Louis. And so some of the Knoxville citizens would get on board her little Pullman car. And in those days, those Pullman cars cost about $20,000, which is probably, you know, with inflation and all that, it's probably $1 million or more vehicle today. And a picture of it appeared in one of the New York theater trade publications. So that's an example of it. And she always had these rather expensive dresses that were Parisian designs. They came out of New York. She didn't go all the way to Paris to get them. But she had a lot involved in wardrobe. And she once bragged that she had $10,000 worth of scenery that she carried along with her for all these plays. So she really was quite wealthy once upon a time.
Do you know how she was received and viewed in Knoxville at the time?
Quite laudably. They very seldom say anything. But usually the problem was is that if there was anything negative ever said about her, it was about her company. And some of the supporting actors, there was a kind of a cliche expression in those days about theater where they referred to people as stars and sticks. And what it meant was that they had a star actor or two, a talented person, and then they had a bunch of cloddish people who were trying to break into show business, the kind of sticks, you know, wooden actors. So that's the only negative thing said about her. That she and her husbands, but particularly her first husband, were fairly active in life in Knoxville. They put on benefits one time for the first town clock. I don't know if you still have a town clock there, but if you do, that's where it came from. And when there were different charities and things like that, they would put on special performances for them. And so I think they were quite well received in the town. I know at one time they had received some artifacts along the way, Indian artifacts, particularly in antlers and bones and things like that, and they donated them to the Historical Museum in Knoxville. Whether they're there or not, I don't know, but that was part of it.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Jolly Della Pringle with Charles Lauterbach. What of her relationship with Charlie Chaplin? Do you know anything of it?
Oh, just that he was one of the kind of starting out in showbiz and films in those early days. This is before he invented his tramp character and all that sort of thing. So just some people she was hanging around with. There were a number of other people that were mainly around the Mack Sennett Keystone Cops type of thing that she was around. I don't know that she had an abiding sort of connection. One connection with the films that she did have was kind of interesting is the fact that her first husband, John Pringle, after they divorced, married another woman, and they had a child, and that was John Pringle, Jr. And he was later to become John Gilbert, the silent film star and the one who made the transition to talkies. And he appeared opposite Greta Garbo, and there's a whole cult of people today who still follow the films of John Gilbert. He was this extremely, he was the Brad Pitt of his day and then some. And she was his kind of like, she wasn't technically his stepmother, but she'd evidently known about him and visited him when he was a young boy in Logan, Utah. And then he was trying to start out in pictures in around 1916 and 1917. and she evidently befriended him down there at that time, and they became fairly close friends, and he referred to her as his second mother or stepmother, although technically that wasn't it. And he evidently visited her a couple of times here in Boise, Idaho. I've had references to it, but I can't tie it down exactly. It had to be before 1936, because that's when he died. But anyway, so she did have that connection to somebody who really was a superstar of the era.
And how did she wind up in Boise?
She was over in a place in Iowa called, in Idaho, called Sugar City. And her company was almost gone broke. She had a problem with, she was on tour, and then her brother suddenly died, and she'd gotten married to her fourth husband, and within 2 days of her marriage, she had to go back to Iowa to bury her poor brother. And then when she got back, she lost all of her bookings. Things were in chaos. She was about to close up the trip when she read an article in the paper that there was a theater in Boise available for the summer. So she got her agent to run over here to Boise, pretty far across the state, and she booked this summer theater. It was a kind of a tent theater. This is just before air conditioning came in, so there were a lot of these outdoor theaters were popular. And so she came over to Boise, and in July she started the season. And she was very, very popular. She had a company of 14 actors, and all of her own scenery and costumes, and summer was extremely profitable for her, so she just stayed on. And although she toured to other places, she played in Montana, and she was gone for almost 2 years playing in Canada, mainly in Edmonton and Saskatoon and such places like that, before she returned to Boise. And then around about 1916, she left Boise again to pursue a movie career for a couple of years and returned back here in 1918 and pretty well stayed. She had local theater, and she appeared with other people's companies. And then in 1921, she put together a big touring tent show of her own with her niece, Grace Van Winkle, in it, and they were going to tour into Utah and Northern California, but evidently something went wrong, and she ended up being broke and had to mortgage her house to get out of hock and return to Boise. And she ran a costume shop here for a while, too, with her old costumes from the show business days, and kind of dwindled away into the society here. At that time, Boise only had 18,000 people, but she was part of it. So the latter part of her life was kind of sad, but the glory days were great, I'll tell you. And she lived to be some 82 years old.
Did she ever return to Knoxville?
Yes, she did. She left in 1906 to go to California, and she returned a couple of times. She returned in 1908 to bury her brother, and she also returned in 1941 when she was quite elderly, to kind of say nice things to all the people back in Knoxville, and it was reported in the Knoxville and the Des Moines paper at that time. And that was the last time that she was there. She died here in Boise in 1952, and I think it's interesting on her tombstone, it's kind of a tribute to her, it's written, "Jolly Della Pringle, a good trooper."
Thanks to Charles Lauterbach for contributing to the program. Thanks also to Jolly Della Pringle. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.